on the Wisdom Within Us radio network, where we explore the wisdom, energy, and technologies coming online following the 2012 event horizon. Our format may vary sometimes, and our conversations may be controversial. We ask that you participate with an open mind and heart and respect the points of view, especially if they are radically different than your own. We want to thank Jeeva Carter for our theme music. More can be found on our website, wisdomwithin.us. Our call-in number in the U.S. is area code 213-943-3684, or you can enter the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/wisdomwithinus. And now, here is our host, Daniel Douglas.
I want to welcome everybody to our program today. We're very fortunate to have as our guest Larry Schwartz. He is someone that I have known for years in the Unity Ministry, and he has the unique experience of having been with the ministry in Unity long enough to have contacted with the people who were very important in its early days. And so he brings to our conversation a very rich history of the process of consciousness and the evolution of consciousness. He has a very unique situation as well, in that unlike many members of the clergy from multiple denominations, that he stayed in one location serving one community. It'll be 50 years this coming year. And that's quite an accomplishment, and it is something that I'd like to talk about. Larry, what has your experience been with the longevity in one location?
Well, again, thank you so much for having me. Mary Ellen, the co-minister here at Unity, was unable to make this time frame, and so it's just me, but on behalf of Mary Ellen, I want to thank you for the opportunity of being on your show. Your question, having longevity in a ministry has allowed us to have a generational experience that many ministers who do not stay that long in a given ministry for choice or for whatever reason do not necessarily have or experience. And that is a very rewarding thing. And what is a generational thing that I'm talking about? Well, in essence, to sort of speak to it real quickly, it's from the womb to the tomb. And I don't mean that totally literally, but we get to do the weddings, the memorial services, the birth, the christenings, and then again the cycle continues within that branch of the family. And so it is not uncommon for us to marry generations of people in one family and to help them, to help people know the truth about the everlastingness of life when they make their transition. So we have that experience, and it's a rewarding one in a ministry.
You know, as you mentioned, Larry, that this is something in our conversations, that this is something that's not really common to a lot of ministers, that they move on. Sometimes it's thought of as a career move, and I know some of the different denominations think that it's really important to kind of change the leadership at the top. So having stayed there, what is unique that you can see in terms of the things that have been asked of you that might not have been asked to a kind of, how can I say, a traveling minister, someone who has the connection with the parents and perhaps the grandparents of the people that you're serving?
Let me back up if I can, and I'll get to your question right away.
Sure.
But one of the things that Mary Ellen and I have attempted to do in lieu of having fresh blood, so to speak, come into the ministry every so often, is we have attempted in our own way to keep our own blood fresh. meaning, while we'd like to think and know and feel and affirm that we are pretty well centered in unity and its foundational teachings and beliefs, that there are ever new ways of expressing that and ever new ways of engaging this truth. And so we, over the years, have looked at and delved many different ancillary opportunities, some of which we recognize that just isn't our cup of tea and it isn't anywhere as close to what unity would be. And there are other things that can be really an asset, an adjunct to a belief system that unity encompasses and that unity is. So they may not have fresh blood on a permanent thing here, but trustfully, we try to keep an intravenous injection of spirit ongoing. And this isn't to say that we don't have guest speakers and this type of thing along the way as well.
You know, that as I have looked at many of my colleagues, or our colleagues really, who have made those changes and done other things, what would you say to those who are new folks that are coming out of seminary these days and are stepping into a ministry, and about the particular challenges that you face? That I know sometimes people think that a change of venue lets you walk away from challenges and you can start over, which it does, but then wherever you go, there you are. What could you say to our new folks coming out that might guide them into making the choice to stay for a very long time?
Well, again, let me briefly back up, and then I'll get to your question. And the back up is the foundation, the only one that I can speak from. And that is, while I have been in the Unity family all my life, from the moment of my birth, when I went into ministry training back at the Village in the early 60s, one of my basic feelings, and I don't know if I articulated it all the time necessarily, but it wasn't to go to a ministry and jump somewhere, but it was to go to a ministry and stay, and to nurture a ministry with growth and with consistency that I think is very possible only if you stay. Now, does this mean that somebody is wrong if they go into some kind of a thought experience of wanting to, do the boomerang and go from ministry to ministry and explore different regions? No, they're right and perfect as they do that, if that's their calling, if that's their feeling. And just going out like we did into a ministry and saying, well, we're going to stay here, we never said that, but in our own heart of hearts, that's what we believed. You could go into a ministry and it wouldn't work out. There might be other feelings that, well, you may think you're going to stay here forever, but we don't. And they may have the opportunity of enforcing that, so to speak. But it's been our joy to stay here, and I would recommend that is where a lot of the rewarding experiences come from the generational aspect of things.
Well, you know, as you speak of that, I'm thinking about the challenges that sometimes arise within the interplay of the unique and special personalities and individuals that make up a ministry team. I know I talked with Jack Boland as I was early in ministry, and he was saying that, you know, when you're there 5 years in a ministry, by that time you're pretty much the senior member of the board of trustees and the people that are there. So you get a place of respect that perhaps you don't have under the shorter time. So how have you recognized the challenges of staying in the one place for a long time and come up over what might have had other people choose to say, look, I'm out of here?
I'm hearing your question and I'm processing what you're asking. I'm not intimating in any way, shape, or form that we haven't had, as we like to put a frosting on how we say things sometimes, that we haven't had our opportunities over the years. We certainly have had that, although they've been minimal, really. We've had some board members who came on and we didn't know, and maybe they didn't have it when they first came on the board, but they developed their own agenda, and we've had to deal with that. The one thing that I think I brought with me, and I haven't articulated it necessarily back then, but I look back on it now and I see, and that is that I jumped on things quickly when things were not going as they should, and I recognized that Mary Ellen and I, that we had, if not the entire board, that we had the majority of the board with us, and the couple or one or two people who were on the board were sort of spikes in the road and not the consistent tenor of the consciousness of the board. And at some point in time, you need to be proactive. And the joking terminology is, and this came from Sig Paulson, I think, and he says, you can't always sit back on your fat affirmations, that you have to do what you need to do at a given moment, because you don't want the ship to sink if you can plug the hole. And we've plugged a few holes over the years, and I would not necessarily want to go back into those moments again, but we've experienced, I'm sure not everything that can be experienced, but we've had our opportunities.
You know, as you think back over those years, those almost 50 years now, and thinking about the things that you were dealing with as a spiritual leader in those early years, the things that your community was bringing to you and asking for insight or help with, and contrast that to the kinds of inquiries and questions or concerns that you're getting today. Do you see a difference? Has anything changed, or is it pretty much the same thing?
The change, perhaps, is that there maybe isn't any. We all go through whatever life's experiences, and I've often entertained the thought that how in the world, I mean, thankfully they did, but how in the world did the original grouping of Unity of Tucson in the early years, in the mid-60s, how in the world did they ever put up with us? As I go back and look at us and what happened, but they did, because I think they sensed in us. Now, I remember as well, just about the first week or second week that I got into Tucson, that somebody called up for a counseling, and it was a woman. And if she had the kitchen sink that was bothering her, she would have brought it with her and thrown it at us. I mean, it covered the gambit of all that you could imagine could be. And I really entertained the thought that Unity Village sent this out to test me to see what in the dickens that I was going to do with it. Well, of course, they didn't. But we have people, and bless people's journey, and bless their unfoldingness, and we endeavor to meet everybody right where they are, and endeavor to speak in a way that they can begin to feel better about themselves, and to, through that better feeling, make whatever changes are efficacious for them to make, as we recognize indeed how consciousness works.
Such a beautiful approach to working with the people. So we're going to take a break here for a little commercial in a moment, but I'd like to ask you to think about something while we're on that break. And that is, you know, as you think back about, one of the things I hear in what you're saying is a true centeredness in the reality of your own personal spirituality. And so what I'd like you to do, if you would, is while we're listening taking that short break, think about, you know, that, and when we come back, we can talk about how personally you've been touched by the service that you've done over that time. So hang on, we'll take a little break here, and we'll be right back. This broadcast is brought to you by Wisdom Within Us, which is a platform dedicated to recognizing the innate magnificence in humanity. We support the expansion of awareness and the application of spiritual principles in daily life. The precession of the equinox in 2012 marked the end of a 26,000-year cycle of our solar system traveling around the core of our galaxy. The human paradigm during this past cycle has focused on survival manipulated through the frequency of fear. The predominant emerging frequency of the cycle we are entering is compassion. Not the compassion that you may have learned as a child, where you feel pity for someone less fortunate than you are. Rather, it celebrates the God inside every individual as a unique expression. The compassion is easy to apply with a few simple changes in the choices that we make. A key element that drives the Wisdom Within Us platform is a recognition that we do not know what we do not know. Who we are as spiritual beings has not changed much. What has changed is what we are understanding about who we are and how to access our potential. To this end, we have created a 3-part branded system called Living as a Sovereign Soul. This system is taught in an 8-hour workshop, and in 2016, it will be available as an online program. For more information about this and other programs that we offer, go to our website, wisdomwithin.us, and follow the link to sovereignsoul.com. If you have any questions or to book a workshop or one of our other programs, go to our contact page and start a dialogue. Now, back to our guest. Yes, Larry, are you still with us?
Oh, yes, thank you.
So, personally, how have you stayed connected with that central source that has given you the strength to face all of those opportunities to flee?
That I spent hours contemplating my navel in meditation, and you won't hear that. I endeavor to, when I remember to do it, I endeavor to come from center to circumference in my dealings with myself and with whatever the day unfolds. Am I always successful? Well, you know the answer to that, and it's not always. And I believe, and I would teach, and I would tell people, you know, if you can be successful in doing this 51% of the time, that's really all you can perhaps accomplish without the naval contemplation in the Himalayas forever. And so you learn, and I would tell people this as my counselees and what have you, you learn to be not as difficult on your own self as you possibly can. You learn to cut yourself some slack. You learn to say, oh, well, often, and to move upon something that always feels better, because that's the input into the energy where you want to be.
You know, that's really powerful, Larry. the sense of living the truth that we know through unity and what we have understood. It's such a powerful way, and I think that's one of the best ways that we can be a leader is by living the truth that we would speak about. And, you know, so I'd also like to ask you, too, that having a co-minister, a partner, not only a partner in ministry, but a partner in life, how has that impacted what you've done? And I guess maybe another way to ask that question is, if Mary Ellen were here, what would she say?
Well, it has worked for us. We look in the ministry across the board. We look at some of our friends over the years that we've had and whose marriage didn't last. And it doesn't work for everyone. I like to jokingly, she doesn't like me to do this, but she's not here. I like to jokingly refer to her as my immediate supervisor. As within all weddings that I think about to perform, sometimes I make the comment, even if it's in a pre-conference with a couple, I say usually to the gentleman, although that's changing now, but I say to the gentleman, always have the last word in your marriage, and the last word is yes, dear, and if you can. if you can remember that, and here in the ministry, she and I, we sort of have equal things that we do. She leans in some directions that I don't lean well in, and I lean well in directions that maybe aren't her forte. So our match has worked out for us, and has it always been 100% peaches and cream? Well, of course not. Not always, but it's never gone over that tipping area in life when it's difficult to come back from. And I'm not saying that we've been to the precipice. I don't think we've ever done that. But we've had an experience, and we continue to do it, of supporting and loving and respecting one another.
That's powerful, Larry, and I'm sure that the members of your community see that characteristic in the two of you as it lives out in the daily and weekly activities of the ministry, where they get a chance to see that people can find the way to share a long lifetime of working together toward common goals and to doing it in a successful and respectful and loving manner. The things that I see as I kind of look at the flow of life and energy and so forth is there's a lot that is changing in terms of the perspective of people, of what they are, what they're thinking about, what they're concerned about, what they're afraid of. Are you seeing any of that in your experience? Are there any shifts in what is and what's pulling at the hearts of people? How are they feeling about where we are in the flow of our planet?
Well, you can imagine what my, and even earlier, when I did my stint in the military and some college earlier before ministry, my conscious memory goes back to the early 40s. So, between that and now, you can remember what all has happened in the world, and it is a very, on occasion, it can be a very scary place. The names change to protect the innocent, but it's all evolving, usually around the same kinds of issues in one's life, interpersonal. Things going on in the world, things that always did go on in the world, but we weren't aware of them, but now we are because of news availability, social networking, and things of this nature. But I really haven't seen a lot of change per se. I've seen different faces on the change, but I've seen a lot of similarity within maybe why people would come and want to have a conversation with us about things going on in their life. So I don't see a huge shift that I can identify.
So what are your plans for the next 50 years?
Well, probably staying in Tucson. But sometimes people talk to us and they say, you know, have you thought about retirement? And really, the answer is, well, you know, you think about these things, but in a definitive way, not necessarily. My stock answer to people is, what would I do? I don't really know anything per se. I mean, I don't doubt that the universe is capable of taking care of me completely and fully at any echelon, at any step in my journey. I'm not saying that, but I've never thought about doing anything else but being in ministry. And is it sometimes does it sometimes bring you to the point of when you're working with personalities and you're working with fluctuations in the financial area of ministry that affects all 501c3s recently for the last many years? You know, sometimes there's a little voice that comes up and it says, you know, do I really need this? And I guess I do, because I shy away from delving too much further into that realm of exploration. So I'm putting one foot in front of another. I'm endeavoring to be a part of what is the divine order for me. I do not sometimes in this context, if I can move to just a little quadrant here that's close to that, and that is that some people would say then, and they would equate this with the will of God, you know, well, Larry, are you well, I do not see the will of God as something that is outside of me, usually held in the mind of an anthropomorphic being who has some kind of a definitive will of my turning left, right, up, down, doing this, not doing that. But I see the will of God as an energy that moves in me, through me, and most importantly, as me. I am in the loop of the activity of God, and so that will manifest through my choices, my dreams, my plans, and I take it one step at a time.
Well, Larry, that is fantastic. We've got about a minute left in our program. And I want to thank you again so very much for coming on and sharing this time with me and sharing your thoughts and the insights that you've had over your time of ministry. And I'd like to tell the folks that we have as our guest next week, Terry Lund, and she is a minister who is very connected to the ideas and the message of peace. And she's going to be talking to us about peace and peace in our world and how we can help be a part of that and communicate that to the people around us. So we're looking forward to talking to her next week and having all of you folks join us back on the program. Until then, be safe, enjoy your presence and your connection with the Holy Spirit, with God. Goodbye for now.